Okay, great. So basically, we're going to attempt, there's a lot of different things we want to accomplish today. A lot of different things in the shir of Tachlifei Yisr Hanah. Let's just break down our major goals and objectives into three different components. Number one, I want us to talk about, just trying to how we look at Yisr Hanah from different angles and how we treat it in the halacha. Different perspectives on Yisurei Hana'a and how to look at them. The second aim that we have in this Chazar Shir is going to be to tackle a lot of the particular questions that obviously contribute towards our evolving perspective towards Yisurei Hana'a and the various types. Okay, sorry. And then the third thing we're going to talk about on a more methodological question, a meta question, is going to be, I just muted everyone, so if anyone has questions, you could just raise your hand with the thing. I think that works. We'll figure it out. I've never done this before, but we'll figure it out. The third thing we're going to speak about after how we look at Yisurei Hanah, and also the different questions that will help contribute to our evolving perspectives towards Yisurei Hanah and the topics, the identity, the character of Yisurei Hanah, is going to be, on a more methodological point, Rav Rosenzweig did a really close analysis of the Rishonim and the progression of the Rishonim and how they treated these topics. And I think it's something worthwhile to hash over again, sharpen the points we already understand, and maybe point out some wrinkles that may have been only briefly alluded to and definitely could use, a closer zoom on. Okay, fine. So before we begin, just to make a lot of things clear from the outset, in terms of terms, and definitions, because I think a lot can get lost in the back and forth, is that we're really going to go from like a hierarchy, a scale of different kinds of Yisurei Hanah. Although we were asking the question in Shir, and pedagogically, of course, it made sense, to consider the question about all Yisurei Hanah, we would say things about Yisurei Hanah in broader terms, and then later ask the question, could you potentially be Mechalik? I think it's better to point out that the evidence really does seem to be clear that the character and nature of each Isser, the same way the Isser Achila may come from a different place and might function differently, so too the Isser Hana, what it reflects about the Isser on a whole, is likely going to be different. So there are going to be a lot of chilukim between all Isserim, and nothing that we say about one, should we, or maybe even can we, necessarily assume about another. Okay, thank you, Ellie. So let's just like kind of work our way down quickly. We'll start from the end and then go back to the beginning. So, and broadly speaking, when we have Yisurei Hanah, we can talk about Yisurei Hanah d'oraisa. Maybe at the top of the list, for our intents and purposes, you have Yisurei Shvius and Avodah Zarah. I'm intentionally leaving out Hegdish for the moment, about which we say there is something called Tfisas Damim. The Yisurei Hanah is kind of stuck, clinging on to whatever comes in contact, I would say, with Yisurei Hanah v'Avodah Zarah, or Shvius, and kind of sticks with it, even if you try your best to shed it remove yourself from the Yisurei Hanah that comes along with Shvius and Avodah Zarah. And of course, there are differences even between Avodah Zarah and Shvius. They function differently, maybe even qualitatively differently, not just in some of their details, and we'll get back to that. Then you have Hegdesh, which is somewhere a little bit lower than Avodah Zarah and Shvius, that also has Tfisas Damim. It may be Petra Chamor for the Rambam. I know I'm saying a lot here, but Petra Chamor for the Rambam may function a little bit like Hegdesh, where I wouldn't say that the Isser Hanah that's connected to Hegdesh, like Shvius and Avodah Zarah, is like a super duper Isser Hanah, a very, very intrinsic and powerful Isser Hanah. But it is something that is significant, and the key thing, as the Ramban notes, we'll get back to this later, when it comes to Hegdesh, the Isser can actually be transferred. And the fact that it's transferable, that Hegdesh is something which is transferable, his Lashon is, I have these things so small. Let's just get it out. Things are not moving so quickly here. Whatever, we'll get back to it. The Hegdesh is like right after Shvius and Avodah Zarah. And then you have things like, I would say, Orla, Kilayim, and Nevela. And those are like important. They're just examples. These are important to note here. When we say something is intrinsically Asr Ba'ana'a B'chatza, what we're talking about is that the characteristics of the Isr, the DNA of the Isr, the qualities, and how how B'mitzius, what the Isr is connected to its halachic status. So Kilayim isn't just, you know, the intermingling illegally intermingling species, but that thing itself contributes to Isr Hana'ah. As such, because we're going to say this a lot, Rav Rosenzweig was very fond of this, because the Isr Hana'ah is intrinsic, Bechefta Shel Kilayim or Nevela, it isn't something that can be transferred onto something that isn't also Kilayim or Nevela. And that's a key thing when we talk about it's intrinsic, it's because that the Isr in the Torah, and probably because of like what it's trying to promote via, you know, its spiritual messages, is connected in a very deep way to its DNA, its ingredients, its physical qualities and characteristics. And as such, when it comes to Tachlivi Isra and of those things, it isn't going to be so simple that same Isra can just be transferred. And that's what we mean by intrinsic. And that's important going forward. Then we have things like, which I think are more interesting, like Chametz, Shohar Niskel, which we'll get to in Rashi, Chametz, Avar Lava, Pesach. And again, you can make, I said this from the beginning, even though I'm grouping things together, all of them really should be looked at differently. There's a reason the Torah made so many different Isra Hana. And you have Chametz, Avar, Pesach. Those things I wouldn't say are as intrinsic per se, but are connected maybe to circumstances, broadly speaking. Let's say circumstances. Circumstances can make things, you know, klapi the gavra, have like an intrinsic, like simulate an intrinsic status, but those are more circumstantial than I would say based on their DNA and inherent qualities, you know, whatever. When we talk about chametz, the Pesach, we always see their shas hakosher, all these different things. And then maybe you have like this din machlif, which is already a step removed, if there even is a din machlif, which we'll get to of Isurei Torah, and that might even be even more removed from something which is has an Isra Hana'ah from circumstances. And then you have like Dirabanans, which enters really a whole new realm, I would say, on the lowest level for now. And the question is with Isurei Dirabanan, maybe what I said about Isurei Hana'ah in general from the beginning isn't true. Maybe if there aren't differences between Isurei Hana'ah and Midirabanan, and all Dirabanans are just a generic Isra Hana'ah, the Rabbanan don't want us to use it, and that's why they made it Asr B'Hana'ah. Or maybe not, or maybe it's just like, Isurei Hana'ah D'Oraisa. Each Rabbanan has its own characteristics, and needs to be assessed on the basis of itself, and nothing else. Does the Din Machlif apply to the Rabbanans the same way it does to the D'Oraisas? So we have to think about that, maybe for some. So when we were talking about the Rabbanans, this is, I said, I'm going to go from the end to the beginning. We brought up Tosfos, the very end of the Tosfos on Ardaf in Chulin, who brings up, basically says, I really should have Seth read, because Seth did all the reading on Tachlivi Isra Hana'ah, but we'll give him a break, because he already did his duty. He's played his part. But the end of the Tosfos over here, when he's talking about when it comes to Yisurei D'Rabbanan, he makes a comment that when it comes to someone who's Mekadesh in Kol Shah, Psachon Chavavavi, he says, the Mekadesh Veshoz D'Rabbanan, the Chametz D'Rabbanan, the Choshen the Kiddushin. So let's say someone has like Chametz in the fifth hour, the Choshen the Kiddushin, that's D'Rabbanan in the fifth hour, Chametz D'Rabbanan, Mikomako Mikudeshes Gemura Lo Havya, the Imba Acher, the Kitcha Choshen the Kiddushin Shneim. He talks about this idea of having two Yisurim D'Rabbanan when it comes to Chametz, and being choshish in the kiddushin, but it not being totally mutter. So what we brought up when it came to this type of chametz d'rabanan, b'shoz d'rabanan, we noted that the Gemara actually really never speaks about this, and speaks about something else, isuri d'rabanan, where we wouldn't be choshish in the kiddushin. And there's a machlokes, Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi, on psachim, davav, amir aleph, I'm pretty sure. And over there, Rabbeinu, it's basically just, it says that someone who's mekadesh, b'shoz shishis, Bechite kur denaisa, ein choshesh in the kiddushin. So we have two factors here, and either one or both could contribute to why there wouldn't be kiddushin. And again, the reason we're doing this is because by assessing the nature of the Isra Hana'ah and what its consequences are, we can figure out a little bit about how the Isra Hana'ah functions. So Rashi over there said that really we're dealing with Sha'os derabanan b'chametz deoraisa. So the chametz is real chametz. But they, yeah, we say in choshesh in the kiddushin. So that's one type of Isur derabanan. And then Tosos, according to Rabbeinu Tam, brings up that really the zmanim, it's really usher, the zman is deoraisa, and the chametz is only midirabanan. So there's these two different types of Isurim derabanan when it comes to chametz, b'shei sha'os. And the question when it comes to those is why exactly won't we be mechosher in the kiddushin? After all, we have an iser only dirabana. Even if we have an iser deraisa, even so, there still should be. We still have. There's one dirabana, and even so, how could it be that should stall in a din deraisa? So Rashi says something like kol hamakadosh ha'ed dirabanan. But we already have now Rabbeinu Peretz and the Ritva, in the, each in their own way, making a stronger point that the Rabbanan shouldn't be able to be Oker, Kiddushin Deraisa. And really the key thing here is that whenever there's something that you either Asur Limkor, or Ein Motzim Konim, you won't be able to sell it, you won't be able to get value out of the item, it's possible that given that value is needed in Kiddushin, you wouldn't be able to use it when it comes to Kiddushin, even though, yes, it should get through on a purely d'oraisa level. But because you wouldn't be able practically to sell it, or no one will buy it, and those are different things, that will actually prevent you from tapping in totally from there actually being value needed for kiddushin, and as such, in kosheshin. But the key thing here again is like we're trying to consider different ways when you have something that's asr ba'ana, how exactly do we assess its shovi, or the ability to own it, in legal and halachic terms. And so for Rashi, Rashi doesn't necessarily tell us much there except that the Derabanan shouldn't be a problem. But Rabbeinu Peretz and Ritva are saying that really, even though there's just an Isur Derabanan, because of a pragmatic reason, it could factor in and prevent even Dinim Deoraisa. And then we brought up, like, maybe what if two, if both of them are Derabanan? And Tosvos in Kiddushin and in Chulin, Kiddushin and Chesam now seems to think that the only problem in the Gemara Emsachim was that you had one Deoraisa. But maybe if you had two Derabanans, you'd be able to get through. And we would be Choshishin, at least, to require a get. But I think this Rabbeinu Peretz in the Ritva, you would probably continue to say that you can't, even though there are two Derabanans, nobody would sell it, nobody would buy it, you can't use it. And that practically would interfere with being able to use, get something out of its value. And even though we're dealing only, again, on a halachic level with Derabanans, you would actually have a problem accessing its value, and that may make it, not a chefta shel mamon, really not something that is considered mamon from the halacha standpoint. So that's very important. But that's how we were talking about derabanans, and what we were speaking about over there was chametz b'shei sha'os, which is chametz kodem ha-pesach. Our Gemara speaks about chametz derabanan. If you go like the Mandam of Reb Shimon, the Chametz Shavu Pesach is Derabanan. Our Gemara in Chulin was talking about Chametz Achar Pesach, which is also another type of Derabanan. And the possibility, as even we already have seen in Tosos and Rashi over here, of being Mechalig amongst Derabanans, is very clear. Reb Rosai then quoted the Griz, which you could find in, I have it in my Chidushi Hagrach. I remember buying this, and then just like a couple of years ago, and then just like reading through them. So I remember the Griz, sometimes this Grach will quote the Griz. So he actually goes through and makes some diukim in the Rambam Hilchos Chametz Umatzah, Sof Perek Aleph, that even though we're dealing really at its core with Chametz Derabanan, B'Sha'a Chamishis and B'Sha'a Shishis, in Sha'a Chamishis there's an Isser Achila, and in Sha'a Shishis there's an Isser Achila and Hana, both Derabanan. He says that even though, that don't think the discrepancy, quoting Lashonos of the Rambam, between Shal Chamishas and Shal Shishas is only whether or not there's an Isser Hana. That in Chamishas there's only an Isser Achila, and that in Shishas there's only an Isser, there's also an Isser Hana. Because what the truth is that really what we need to think about is what is the nature, what is the Oser of this Chefza Shal Chametz in each of these manim. And what he says when he's Medayik in the Rambam, that in Shal Chamishas it sounds like all we have is an Isser Achila, that as a chashash, a chashash midirabanan, that maybe it's really shal shishis. But there's no shame chametz, there's no iser chefza, the Griz says. It's not that at all. There's no shame chametz, I love whatsoever. But when it comes to shal shishis, even the iser achila, reflected by the iser hana, is not only an iser chefza, but an iser chametz. What the Chachamim did was they gave a shame chametz to the chametz b'shah ashishis, which memela created an iser hana'a, shel chametz, also is the cause for makas mardos in the achila, that the grizz's medayik doesn't exist when it comes to achila as chametz b'shah chamishis. And for that reason, we say, ultimately, that b'shah chamishis, we don't have a right to burn trumas chametz. We can't burn sukkachim, which only has a chashash midarban and iser gavra, le'echol shema to yom hama'unan, and maybe it's really the 6th hour. So you can't burn it yet, you have to be tolen, you can't eat it, but you also can't burn it. But already once you get to Shah Shishis, even though it's derabanan, and Shah Shvius is going to be deraisa, in Shah Shishis it has a shem chametz bechavtza. It's an iser midarabanan that functions and has the character of chametz atzmo. And so we're already seeing chilukim, again, even with midarabanans itself, as to how to look at different types of isurim. This in particular is the difference between two isuri achila, but novea from that is the isur hana, which just reflects the difference in the nature of the two isurim. The fact that there is an isur hana tells us that even we have to look at the isur achila different, because the chavtza needs to be looked at through a different lens. Okay, so that's the derabanan question, which is very significant at this bottom rung of our topic. But as I said, what we really want to do, we already started a little bit, is to think about and consider the different ways to look at Isurei Hana'a and how we look at a Chefza from the legal standpoint, a halachic viewpoint. Okay, so there are going to be several issues we're going to run through. I'm not going to go through each detail, but hopefully they will be on the outline. But I would say we're basically going to be dealing with like 7 issues. One is, and this is, these are just going to be shilohs, the rishonim, you know, deal with them and give different answers. So one is going to be the iser hana'a in the hachlafa. Is there an iser hana'a to be machlif? I'm not talking about if the chefza post hachlafa is going to be aser, but is there an iser hana'a to do the maisa hachlafa? That's number one. We have Tosa, the Rid talks about it. We have Rashi here in Avodah Zarah, the Ritva. Is there an Isra Hana to be Machlif? It seems pretty clear that there is, but just an important question to raise, because that's step one of our sugya, our local sugya. Then the other question is Tfisas Damim. Not so much a question, but something to think about when thinking about the paradigms and the parallels to all Isra Hana. You know, you kind of look at the paradigm of all of them, maybe as Avodah Zarah. Here I'll mention also Hegdesh and Shvius. Although there are only 3 of those, and the Ritva actually only quotes 2. He only quotes Shvius, and Avodah Zarah, which we're going to get back to. I think he does that because of something the Ramban says. And it also highlights the distinctions, even within the 3 different things that there is Tfisas Damim. Avodah Zarah and Shvius on the one hand, then Hegdish on the other, that the Ritva leaves out Hegdish. And we have Tosfos Avodah Zarah, obviously, that mentions Beik Suvim, which highlights even further, not that there's even a discrepancy between Shvius and Avodah Zarah. And in this context, we'll talk more about it. Then with the third thing we're going to talk about is the Isser Legavra HaMachlif Lehenos Bahem, that when someone is Machlif, something which is Asr Bahana'a, and again, as I said this before, I'm going to keep reiterating it, There's not one size fits all here. There really can't be. Even if they end up resulting that way, they need to all be thought of independently. The Rishonim do group several issues together, but you know, we have to think about them individually. So that's the other question. Is there, basically, within this third point, is there one? Is there an Isser Lagavra Hamachlif Lehenos Bam? If there is one, and if there is one, what is the nature of it? And is it Deraisa or Derabanan? And then there are several Nafkaminas that came out, we saw in the Ber Hativ, Orach Chaim Siman Tav Mem Gimel. The fourth thing we're going to have to analyze, and all these are going to contribute, like I said, to our evolving Hagdara and characterization of the different Isurei Hana'a, and how we're supposed to perceive them from the Halacha standpoint. The Hana'a's Purta, that Rashi speaks about, when a Mumar, we bring a Raya, Mechemtzen Shel Over Avera, that we see, whatever the evidence shows, apparently, that an Avarion will try to do whatever he can to minimize the damage of Isser. So if he has, for example, just an example, Chametz Sha'avar Alav HaPesach, he'll do his best to try to mitigate that Isra as much as possible. So he'll exchange that Chamech Avalava Pesach, which is Usr, with that which was in the possession of a non-Jew throughout the duration of Pesach, which after Pesach is Mutter, L'chol Hadeos. So the question is, what is that Hanaas Purta? We need to think about that. And which again reflects the hierarchical characterization of the Isra Hana. What you're going to end up saying within that question of Hanaas Purta, like what is the difference? So we already are forced to consider a distinction of two different things. Something that was Asr Bana of a certain level, and something that either is no longer or is a lower level kind of Isra Hana. So that's going to also help us build our product. The fifth thing we're going to have to think about is Ein Damim L'chametz B'Pesach U'L'Shor HaNiskal, which Rashi throws in, which is the Gemara Imsachim Lamad Aleph Mabez that speaks about Trumas Chametz B'Pesach. So we have to be Ein Damim. The fact that there's no Damim to Chametz B'Pesach, where does that come from? What is it based on? And again, how does it go into our evaluation of which factors are responsible for there being a certain kind of status of ownership, of rights? You know, how exactly does that figure in? Ein damim l'chametz b'pesach. Then the sixth thing, the second to last thing, is going to be being mekadesh with tachlivei isur hana. And there we have the different answers of Tosa. I don't know if we're really going to go into it, but these are all the questions that we asked. The pratim that we asked to try to, you know, build a bigger picture. And there, obviously, there's Tosvos and Avodah Zarah Chulin, Apuravu, Tosvos Avodah Zarah, about Ein Ha'isha, Ein Ha'isha Doma Kolkach L'Chalifei Damim, that we can't really look at the process of Kiddushin so much as an exchange of value, but maybe more symbolic, something else, which wouldn't be problematic as far as Chalipin is concerned, or I would say using the value of Chalipin, because you're not really using value, even though it's a condition in Kiddusha Isha, maybe Navin. Then there's also Chulin, Tosas and Chulin, that maybe only Peros V'Kalim, which is a Davar HaNikar V'Nira would be Aser, but maybe other things would be fine, in Chilufin, which was why Kiddusha work, or something like the Mishnah Malach, the Meiri, the Ramban, the Rashba. They all say different kinds of things about tachlife, using the tachlifen for kiddushin. Again, I'm not sure we'll get to that, but that will be in the outline, so you'll all have the information. And then the last and final thing, which is an expression of to what extent you can use actually Isra Hana, is using actually Isra Hana in Kiddusha Isha. Once we say everything we've said about using tachlife Isra Hana in kiddushin, so what about actually Isra Hana, using something which is Asr Bana to Mekadesh and Isha? What should be the problem? Maybe if you do it shalok derech hana'ah, maybe if you give it to a chola, or it's afar after you burn it, and you kind of like are not violating a lav in the Torah, maybe then you could use these isur hana'ah, as long as you don't violate the isur, to mekadesh and isha. And there again, it's very significant. Tosfos asks the question, and makes it more practical. Then you have Tosfos Avodah Zarah, whatever. The point is, with those things, we're going to hopefully get back to all of these things, but the point, again, with that is, what per se ultimately makes something have halachic shovi? Is it the ability to find a way to use it, or maybe we have to look at the intrinsic characteristics of something, whether or not, practically speaking, you can use it? And that issue looms large with all of these, and in this last one, as I was trying to say. Okay, fine. So with that in mind, let's try to nail down some of these issues, but more importantly, to try to, lay out the options conceptually as to how to look at Isur Hana, broadly speaking. Okay, so when it comes to Tfisas Damim, so we said earlier that there are only three. I mentioned them, Avodah Zarah, Shviyas, Hagdish. The Ritva only mentions two. And Tosas even tries to be mechalik between Shviyas and Avodah Zarah, and there may be good reason to. When it comes to Shviyas, we know that only the final item in the long process of Tachlifin is going to be Asr Bahana'ah, Asr B'tfisas Damim. When it comes to Avodah Zarah, though, there really are potential. When it comes to Avodah Zarah, all the things along the way, at least the first two, even Chilufei Chalifin, are also going to be Asr Bahana'ah, but maybe even not the last thing, which is interesting. I'm pretty sure Tosos and Kiddushin points that out. So the question is, exactly how do we look at these two? How do we look at the din of Tfisas Damim In general. And Rav Rosenzweig here, and we didn't collude at all with the Chazar Hashirs, gave a Temura parallel, something we had the fortune of speaking about together a couple months ago in person, that there are different ways to look at Temura, and maybe we can apply them as parallels to the reason there is Tfisas Damim on these Yisuri Hana, Avodah Zarah, Shvius, and, you know, Hegdish in parentheses. That maybe the idea is that what we're dealing with is kedusha or a status so intrinsic, that it kind of can, you know, either number one, kind of maybe like superconduct, as Rav Rosenzweig was using. And that's from Cherev Gechalel, also, you know, another one we got to do together. It's like a boomerang that, you know, because the kedusha is intrinsic, when you try to be machlif it, it bounces off, you know, the chefzah shel iser, and leaves like an indelible imprint. Because these things can generate their own status because of the extent to which their kedusha is so intrinsic. And maybe that's even a way of him attacking what you tried to do with it. You need to understand that this thing is such an intrinsic kedusha, has an intrinsic isuri hana'a in Avodah Zarah's case, that you can't just distance yourself from it. It doesn't work like that. It carries with you. It has the capacity to generate itself because of how powerful it is. That was option number one. The second option was a little bit different. It's something I think we prefer throughout this year. It seemed to be something he leaned on. That it's more in, it's not that there's like an intrinsic bouncing off of the initial chefta, but through the process of hachlafa, you've created an association, an indelible association with the original item that leaves a lasting stigma on your usage of the davar hanechaf, or the davar ha-machlif, whatever, I'm not so good at Hebrew, with this, the thing you got for it, it leaves a lasting stigma on that and creates a separate chalos. That kind of like the way I would say it is that you're always kind of like, because of the relationship this has to the original item of Avodah Zarah or Shvius, you kind of have like a satellite Avodah Zarah or Hegdish wherever you bring this item that had once crossed paths with the Avodah Zarah or the Shvius. It's compared a little bit to the way we explained the Rambam in Cherev Gecholah, for those who were there, that like whenever you're holding on to an item that was the cherev of the mace, or that has a kesher to the mace, you kind of have a portable mace with you everywhere, through association. Through it reminds you of the original item, the original moment, and so, which we said was like the chefza shel tumas mace. So that's the same thing over here. We're saying there's like an association, a stigma, a separate chalos on this new item, like Cherev Gecholah, like Cherev Gecholah. Okay, fine. I think those are the two kind of options we give for Tfisas Damim, for Hegdish, for Shvius, for Avodah Zarah, and it's possible even again, like we said, to be mechalek within these three. But what's also important is that even if there's not going to be the same level as Tfisas Damim, it could be that we export these models of, you know, exchanging Isuri Hana to our sugya of Tachlif Isuri Hana, because although Tachlif Isuri Hana, Isur Hana might not be quite like Tfisas Damim, it doesn't mean that there isn't a lot of overlap between the two topics, and that what appears to be an Isur Gavra, even maybe an Isur Gavra Midrabanan, on Tachlif Isur Hana could also be very similar, albeit just not as affective, as those which have Tfisas Damim. So with that in mind, let's move to this next point, which is when the Isur Lagavra. The Isur Lagavra Hamachlif, Lehenos Bohem. So question number one is there an Isur Lemachlif? When someone exchanges Isur Hana'a, let's say in our case, let's talk about our local sugya. You have Chamesh Avalava Pesach, for now, whether Diaraisa or Dirabanan, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon respectively. Is there an Isur for someone, for this Avarian to be Machlif? Once he's Machlif, there is an Isur to be Machlif. Once he's Machlif, is there an Isur for him to be Nene, from this item he got, this new thing he got. So we have Rashi who says that there is an Isser. In Avodah Zarah, it's very clear that Isser is Midrabanan when he's talking about being Machlif Kilayim, for example, or being Machlif Arla, for example. But again, I said you always have to treat every Isser differently. So maybe if we have time, we'll get back to maybe there's a distinction between Chamech Avalava Pesach on the one hand and Arla and Kilama on the other. I already kind of alluded to it at the very beginning, but maybe we'll get back to it. But Rashi and Avodah Zarah is very clear. And Avodah Zarah Nandalet is very clear that the Isser is midrabanan for the machlif, and maybe it's some kind of knas. Shelo yehichot eniskar, we don't want this person who did an avera, his machlif, to get to benefit from this item he did, you know, illegally, from the, he got illegally, and or some kind of deterrent, because we don't want people to keep doing it. It's not that he just shouldn't, you know, doesn't have the right, shelo yehichot eniskar, to be able to get advantage, but we also want to prevent it from becoming like a mass movement of people just being machlif left and right. And also it just factors into this is like how ragil, whether or not we're going to make a knas, it matters how ragil this kind of thing would be, how concerned we really are with it. But that's all looking at the Isser Midrabanan. It has an Isser Midrabanan to machlif and a knas. That's how Tosos surely explains it. It's how the Rashba, maybe after seeing Tosvos, explains how the Ramban explains Rashi as a Midrabanan. And for sure one day in the Ramban is that Rashi is Midrabanan. It could be the Ramban actually suggests, and we're going to get to this very soon, the Ramban actually suggests himself, let's just do this in order. So that Rashi, some people think Rashi is Midrabanan. But if for the moment we can look at Rashi, Rashi seems to say, it's hard to know exactly what Rashi says. But Rav Rosenzweig wanted to point out, Rav Rosenzweig thought that Rashi might be Dioraisa, and that the Isser for the Machlif to use it isn't just Midrabanan, but it's actually Midoraisa. And the way he wanted to read it is from the fact, number one, that Rashi never mentioned that it's Midrabanan, like he does in Avodah Zarah, and from the fact that he uses in Cain, Matzinu Damim B'Pesach as a Raya. The fact that he uses something which is clearly a Dioraisa factor, that there's Damim to Chametz B'Pesach, for him at least, makes it sound like the Isser really is Midaraisa. But I want to zero in a little bit on this Rashi because to just make very clear all the different points. So Rashi's saying that, firstly, he quotes the Isha Omerim that maybe it's Mutter, which is a day in the Ramban, which we'll get to. But Rashi seems to think, he thinks Rashi thinks it's Midaraisa. And this is how he understands it, that basically there's an Isser for the Gavra to be Nehne from the Chefta he was Machlif. Because it's like a satellite, as I was saying before, it's like a satellite Isser Chametz Sh'avar Alava Pesach. To Hamis'ani Mechametz Sh'avar Alava Pesach. Di lo di Yahiv Lei Lo'ovei Kochavim Lo'hava Yahiv Lei Lididei. Because of the exchange that happened, the situation that connected kind of this Davar HaMachlif to the original Isser, and it even enabled him to get this new thing. You kind of are always looking at this chametz, this new item as like a chametz shavala pesach that once was, or maybe that kind of like lingers a little bit on the chefta before him. I mean, this lashon we find in the Ramban when he explains Rashi actually. That's how he, and that's how Rav Rosenzweig understands this Rashi. The problem is I'm debating whether or not I want to blend this in with the Damim topic. I don't want to. Okay. Like what in Kain Dam Pesach is contingent upon. Okay, but we're not going to. That's just why I'm a little hesitant. Okay, but so that's Rashi. Rashi seems to think for some Rashi's just Derabanan, like he says in Avodah Zarah about Arla and Kalayim. Tosfos for sure thinks that, the Rashi for sure thinks that, and he thinks he gets it from the Ramban, but it's really not so clear. There's a Yesh Omrim that maybe it's Mutter Lagamre. It's definitely what the Ramban says, and the Rashi quotes in the name of the Ramban. But Rashi himself, it could be there's an Issa D'Oraisa, the Issa D'Oraisa. And these three options would basically be like Knas, like I said, a kind of Shaloya Hechot Eniska or deterrent. Number two, you could have a kind of midrabanan, Isser midrabanan, for all those that think it's midrabanan, extension of Hanas Hagavra. But that's obviously not Tvisas Damim. If you were saying that the Rabbanan kind of imposed on him a kind of Isser Gavra, an extension, you know, like an Isser kind of extension, of the original Isser, that's for sure not Tvisas Damim. That's just the Rabbanan. There's no Dioraisa Chalos to anything that happens here. And then the third option, like I said, I've been calling it the satellite hana'as hachametz hachefetz, that the hana'a kind of like indirectly persists on the new item, the davar hamuchla. Someone has to tell me the word. What is davar hamuchla? Davar machlev? I'm not sure. The new thing that he got. And it's either, like I was saying, the kind of like the effect of this transaction generates the isurana, or like the stigma association to the chametz that once was. But it's not exact. But there, it's like a little bit, now it's a little bit closer to Tvi'is HaSdamim, but it isn't exactly Tvi'is HaSdamim. Okay, great. Fine. That's that for the Isser Legavra HaMachlif.
Josh?
Yeah.
Can I please ask a question?
Ask a question. I love the house.
Okay. Thank you. It's Volozhin.
Okay, good. Yeah?
Yeah. Firstly, I think it's Davar HaNichlaf.
Okay, great.
Anyways, how do we know that there's an Isser to be Machlif? Meaning, not that the thing that you switch it out with will be Usser potentially.
Right, but that there's an Isser to be Machlif?
Yeah,
the Rid says it explicitly, and the Ritva as well. The Rid says Isser Daraisa and the Rashba. They all say it pretty explicitly.
What's the source for that?
They consider it Hana, a kind of Hana.
A Maisa Achlof is considered Hana?
Yeah.
Meaning if I just trade it and then flush it, well, throw it in garbage, that's also considered
Hana? Yeah, maybe because of the potential to now benefit from it, even if you don't Lamaisa.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, good. Good. Shkoya, good question. Okay. But what I want to point out here, and again, this is the third thing we kind of mentioned we wanted to hit in this Chazarish here, is the difference in how the Ramban reads Rashi and how the Rashba interprets him. So if we could turn our attention for a minute to the Ramban, the Ramban really thinks Rashi is saying a Dioraisa, and the way he starts, his presentation begins, again, within this, whether there's an Isra Lamachlif and what level of Isra it is, he asks Akasha that all the Chachmei Sfarad ask, probably following in the footsteps of the great Ramban. How come the Gemara can say, Machran v'kidesh v'dmehem by Orla is Mekudeshes, if there really is an Isra for the Gavra Hamachlif, that the Davra Hanechlav is Asr, how could he use that Davra Hanechlav, which is Asr, to Mekadesh and Isha? So says the Ramban, what's the reason? And this is how Rav Rozek was really explaining Rashi as a Dioraisa. In a Chanami, there's a Dioraisa, but there's only an Isser, there's no Tfisa. Again, the Ramban says there's no Tfisa. You'd only say like that as you'd only reject that Havami, that there's no Tfisa to the Damim, if you really thought there's a serious Isser here, not just a Dirabanan. So he says there's only an Isser and no Tfisa, but b'nei shehu kinene mehen atzman. It's like you were nehne from the money itself, either because the exchange creates it, or there's like a stigma attached to this davar hanechlav, and this kind of like boomerang, maybe there's an association or boomerang that's only to the bailim hamachlifim. That's the isur gava for him because he was involved in this exchange. He's connected to the initial davar isur. But not la'acher, and so therefore Mamela Isha is going to be fine, because this Isra D'Araisa is like Kinene from the original thing itself, but that has no Shaychas to the woman who was never connected to that original Isra, so she'll be able to be Mekudeshes. And then the Ramban, to just further reinforce, as point number two, really three, number one, he brings in that it's not Tvi'is HaSdamim. The only reason you need to reject that as a Havamin, I think, is if we're really dealing with Isra Torah. Number two, he says that it really is like an Isra. He could have just said, all it is an Isra Midrabanan. So maybe Midaraisa, you know, the Kiddushin should be Chal. But what he really says is that no, there's actually only an Isra Lamachlev, because it's like he's being Nana from the Davar itself. And Mamela, the woman, because it's only an Isra Gavra, the woman, as a Miskabeles, can be Mekudeshes. Also saying this, implying kind of this chilek of the Mishnah Melech. And then the third raya that is deraisa, he says ve'od, maybe it's just a knas midirayim, and then of course, like the woman is getting something, can get hana from it. There's no knas for her, and she can go on her merry way with these machran v'kiddush v'nehem, these maos exchanged for orla and kileya karen. And so for the Ramban, it's really deraisa. But what the Rashba does, and it's just fascinating to see the difference, he says when he's reading the Ramban's reasoning for characterizing this Isser, which the Ramban seems to think is deraisa, But he's going to say it's midei rabbanan. He doesn't say it's like your nana from the davar hamachlif. It's nira kinana mehan. The problem is that there's a, and then he also includes over here that it's just a knas. It's nira like your nana from the davar hamachlif, and that's the issue. But not that there's really you, that there is a possibility of exporting, of having a satellite isser hana from the chefza shel isser atzmo. For the Rashba, he all reads it as one big shot. He minimizes the Tfisas Damim point by just chucking it at the end, that there's no Tfisas Damim. Because for him, there's no Shaykh talking about Tfisas Damim. All we're talking about is the Rabbanan. That's what the Machar B'Kiddush Bin Lam, the Damim is only the Rabbanan. And therefore, because it's Nira Kinana Mehen, but it's not for the Isha, because it's only Knas, for the Bailam anyway. That's really what the Rashba says. He just merges everything together in reading the Ramban. But the way the Ramban reads Rashi is d'oraisa. So I think the Ritva, by the way, also has a line that's like the Ramban that thinks Rashi is d'oraisa. But the Ramban himself brings from the Yerushalmi that it's Mutar Lagamre, which we're going to get. No, Mutar Lagamre, and then the Rashba, and it's like Kegezel Biad Mocher, where you did a Maisa Avera by being Nena from the Chavta, but once you stole it, there's nothing wrong with his item per se. It's just a regular. It's an apple. Apples are always fine to eat. I stole it, so that was bad. There's like, I did something that I have to reckon with. I have to bring a chatas for, and then an ola maybe. But I didn't, there's nothing wrong with this chefza, per se. And that's how he looks at the tachlif v'yisr hana. You did a ma'isa avera by being machlif, to answer B'daman's questions too. But there's nothing wrong with the chefza itself. And that's how he thinks. It's mutar lagamri, like the yesh omer min rashi. And they're going to have to Yeah, like the Yesh Omer and Rashi, and other thing Rashi is Midar Abanan, but like we said, the Chacham Yisrael, on the most part, really do seem to think, that if there, maybe there's only Nisim Rabbanan, but there may even be a Heter Lagamre. And this leads us to our very next point, which is, if there really is a Heter Lagamre, when it comes to Chamesh Avar Lev Pesach, when you're Machlif, you can use the thing, in other words, you can take something which is Asur Bahana'ah, and get Hana'ah from it, by being you can take something which is Asur Bahana'ah, and then just exchange it for something else, and then use that thing, in other words, you could get hana from it. So then, why when it comes to chametz, the Pesach, don't we say the very same thing? The Mishnah in Pesachim, on Amad Aleph and Mabez, tells us that there's not, that when a person eats trumas chametz for Pesach, the mezer of b'shogeg, someone will have to tell me, that's an important detail, I should know that. I think b'mezid. So it says there's no d'mei chametz, but there's not even d'mei etzim. And all as all the mefarshim explain, there's not even d'mei etzim when you eat trumas chametz v'pesach, because chametz v'pesach, no matter what it is, has no damim. There's no value. But as Rashi asks, if I could just take that chametz, give it to somebody else for something in return that I could then use b'mutar l'gamre, so then maybe there is damim v'chametz v'pesach. It's a very good kasha. If you can get something out of it, then maybe there should be damim. So how do all the Rishonim, who say like the Yesh Omrim, that it's mutter, how do they say that if you can get something out of it, that really there is still, nevertheless, like the Mishnah says, b'mifureshes, that there's no damim b'pesach? How do they get around that? So number one, it's worth noting that Rashi really does seem to take a very practical view. And the way we need to look at the question is very simple. The way we need to look at the question, as Rav Rosenzweig formulated in his own terms, is, what is the basis of the Hagdara of Yesh Damim or Ein Damim? In the Halacha, what is basically this shame contingent upon? How do we define Bailus or Shovi in Halacha terms? Is it the pragmatic effectiveness or the rights that a person has, especially within law? What exactly is... Okay, great. Is it based on pragmatic effectiveness or his rights, especially within law, within the halacha? And so, basically, what we want to set this up is from a low to high. The Ritva probably is among all the Rishonim, takes it the most practically, that it's all about pragmatic effectiveness. If you can squeeze out some money from the... if you can squeeze out money from the Isser Hana somehow in any way whatsoever, then we're going to say that there's damim b'pesach. The Ritva, that's how the Ritva really does see it that way. The thing is, though, he says, even if you say that you can be machlef and it's mutter to use the davar hamuchlav, the davar hanechlav, I'm going to go with davar hamuchlav. If you can say you can use that, still never, and even though there's damim, as long as you can get something somehow out of it, so it sounds like you could get, there's some way you should be able to get hano out of it. He says that because it's usher for people to sell, because there's no, because the Torah says it's usher, so we're going to assume there's going to be a chazaka that people are not going to do that. They're not going to be avarayonim, they're not going to be over averes in the Torah. And because of that, we have a good assumption that no one's going to sell it. This thing really loses its value on the market. And for all intents and purposes, has a zero by as its value sign. There's no dumb, because on a practical level, you're never going to find someone that sells it. Now, if there were a significant amount of people that would do it, would it become maybe dumbing? Honestly, the Ritva may say yes. Rashi's pragmatic, very similarly, but for him, there's no way that it would ever, there's ever even a practical reality in which it would become permissible. Because for him, for Rashi, the fact that there's an Isser on the machlif, that always exists, and that Isser alone, the fact that he can't get Hanah from the Davar Hamuchlav, is something that will always interfere with Chametz being considered Damim. Lanias Daiti, that could even be, in my opinion, if the Isser is Midir Rabbanan. If there's an Isser, even if it's Mutter Min HaTorah to use the Davar HaMuchlav, but there's an Isser Midir Rabbanan, Lamaisa, you can't get value from it because there's an Isser Midir Rabbanan. The same way people say, for those who know the Sugya, that Kiddusha Isha, you can't use Isser Hanah Midir Rabbanan for Kiddusha Isha. So for that same reason, it could be that even if for Rashi the Isser is Midir Rabbanan, you still wouldn't be able to get value out of it, and that would be Ein Damim BePesach. But Rav Rosenzweig thought that the Isser more likely has to be Dioraisa, and because there's an Isser Dioraisa, to use even the Davar HaMuchav, there's no way you're ever going to get Hana from this Chametz. Maybe if there was, it would be considered, Damim, despite all the other things you can't do with Chametz BePesach, with all the other, you know, status, the dimensions of its status. For Rashi, it's also very practical and all contingent upon whether or not you can get any value out of it, just like the Ritva, but just in different ways. I was trying to be mechalek, hopefully successfully. Then you have Tosfos. And Tosfos really brings us into new territory. Tosfos uses the language, Kaven de lecharkila, even if it's mutter, Tosfos is saying it still might be that even though you could somehow get value if you did this whole, you know, swapping process, Tosfos thinks that maybe still there'd be no damim, even though you can somehow get value out of it. Kevon de lechatchila aser limkor lo la bar damim hu, because you can't sell it lechatchila, it's not bar damim, it's not considered damim. That could either be like the Ritva, that because lemaisa nobody's going to sell it, then you're not going to be able to get value out of it, and therefore there's no damim. But lo yitzura you could, then maybe there would be damim bepesach, there would be damim, but lemaisa you can't. Or the alternative is that because you can't sell it, that reflects that what we're dealing with is a chefza. The reason you can't sell it is because what we're dealing with a chefza that doesn't have damim intrinsically, not because of the halachos, but it doesn't have damim, it has no value, and as such, of course you can't sell it. You're not, maybe not a bialim, maybe there's no value to be sold. And that's another way to read Tosfos, which doesn't look at the pragmatic capacity, effectiveness to sell the object, but seeing the details of how we have to treat the chefza as a reflection of the intrinsic, the nature of the chefza itself, as something that has shovi, that has value, that could have bialas, versus something that doesn't have whatsoever. And from this, from Tosfos, and this more fundamental, we really get into the Ramban and the Rashba. And as we mentioned the Ramban and the Rashba, I want to do them together, again, to see the transition about how it went. I apologize, I forgot when I was going through the different options for the Isser HaMuchlaf, whether Dirabban or Diraisa, Rashi, that day is in the Ramban, the Yesh Omrim. I forgot to mention that within the Dirabbanan, within the different approaches of Knas or Chovas HaGavra, I just forgot to mention the different nafkaminas the Shulchan Aruch brings up in Simon Tav Mem Gimel about if the Shifcha, your Shifcha sells it, or Chalifei Chalifin, the Tosos Svara of Ksus Uperos, just getting them on the record. I'm not going to have time to do them in Gidulav with the Chok Yaakov and the Makor Chayim. But that it depends. If you look at it as a knas and a derabanan, maybe it'd be more makil than if you looked at it as an extension of the hanas hachefetz. Maybe you wouldn't have those same nafkaminas that we mentioned, that, you know, pretty briefly. They'll be on the outline. So that's the only reason I'm comfortable not mentioning them. But that's within how you look at it. Whether a knas, the isra hamuch davar hamuchlaf, is a knas or something more fundamental. You know, like some extended agave. But now we're going to do the Ramban and the Rashba, and then we'll end off with the Rambam. Yeah. It's a lot to discuss here. It's just very, very difficult. Okay, a lot to discuss. So we'll do the Rambam and the Rashba. So how do they understand, if there is a heter for the Davar HaMuchlaf, how exactly do we say, Ein Damim L'chameis V'Pesach, if at the end of the day, there is a way to get value from it by just going to the market and swapping it for something else that looks nice to you on the shelves. So from the outset, we'll be very clear. The Ramban thinks that all the details that surround chametz v'pesach, all the things that we know about it, reflect that be'etzem, chametz is just mufka mishem mamon legamre. It's mufka. And it's not just the unlikelihood to be able to turn, to flip the value and turn it into something. It's not even a din in the legal limitations of chametz that then tell us it's mufka. But what the Isser reflects, the nature of the Isser chametz, that the Torah tells us about, is b'chertza, you know, just nothing whatsoever. That's basically what the goal of the Torah is, according to the Ramban, to do to chametz b'pesach, is to just neutralize it lagamre. Memela, all these things about it are going to be true, the things the Ramban lists. For example, and the way he says it is key, and I'm gonna point to the diukim. There are about like five or six important diukim in the Ramban, and this is also the order he goes in improving, in developing his hagdara for chametz v'pesach. Number one, asurin behana'a de'atzman. It sounds like we're digging into the DNA of the chametz. It's asur behana'a de'atzman. It's from its etzem, from its core, from its characteristics that it becomes asur. Now, it's not. This isn't just an isur hana'a, but it flows from the zeroness, from the chavtza of the chametz itself. Then he says, "V'aser lo nami lemochran, v'litnan b'matana," which is also v'litnan b'matana is also an important diuk for the Ramban. But we're not going to do that now because I've taken too much time so far. But this point is, it's not the fact that you can sell it, can't sell it, doesn't tell me that there's no value. He points, Asr Nami Lamochran, it's also Asr to sell it. That's Noveya from its Mufka Bechevza. The fact that it's nothing on its own, of course, will dictate that I also can't sell it. But the fact that I can sell it doesn't indicate to me that it isn't, that there's no value. Because it's not about selling it, whether you could sell it or not. But it's that intrinsically this thing just isn't Nitan to value. Isn't Nitan to being a Chevza Shalmama. Then he mentions Ein Gufan Mamon, which is a lashon that chefza Ein Gufan Mamon, which is a lashon that's often used by shtar. Shtar is literally a piece of paper. There actually is no value. So are you going to call chametz, which just has the Torah, the religion tells you not to use it, but you're going to say there's no value to chametz, a gluska yafa, this beautiful piece of bread, doesn't have any value? Of course it does. But what he's doing is basically saying, is Ein Gufan Mamon, he wants to treat chametz like a zero. Like as if it was a piece of paper that had no chametz, that had no value whatsoever, the same way. And that's exactly how we treat chametz. Then he also says, Einan davar hagorim lamamon, using it in the lashon that like, it's just never going to lead to value. It just isn't anything. It's a zero. Again, it's just an interesting lashon to use, one of which the Rashba takes out. Then he also mentions, Ela davar ha'omed lisarif, it's something that's going to be burned. And this is whether you say like the Rabbanan who hold, you know, hashbasasa b'chol davar, like the Rambam paskins, or you say ein bior ela b'sreifa, like Rabbi Yehuda. The point is that it's just something that is nitan to be destroyed. That's a zero. The way the Torah is building up, you know, the character of chametz pesach is just as such that it really is k'afer be'einenu. It's nothing. It's a zero, and all the dinim that are associated with it that correspond to the single fact that it is nechav ke'eno b'pesach. And the really interesting also is you'd expect that maybe because of how intrinsic Bechevza, the Isser Chametz, is, that maybe you may expect that, it's annoying, I'm going to have to say this point. This is a very interesting point. You'd expect that maybe there is tfisas damim. Once you're saying that this is such an intrinsic chafsa shel iser, you think, oh, why isn't there tfisas damim? It's pretty intrinsic, it's like avodah zarah shvius. But the Ramban that's why the Ramban has to tell you, elish im bachran, ein bahem koach litpos. There's no koach litpos, and why is there no koach litpos? And this is key. Delo nafik me isuro kigon hagdish. Anything which isn't nafik me isuro kigon hagdish, like hagdish, which its status can be removed from it, its isur can be removed from it, is not going to have tfisas damim, except avodah zarah and shvius. Here he's being mechalek on the one hand between the reason why there's tfisas damim behagdish, because it's nafik me isuro, and avodah zarah and shvius, which is maybe a separate din in avodah zarah and shvius. But again, maybe because I think the Ramban has to tell you it's not like hegdish, because maybe you think that maybe there is really something to chametz b'pesach that would have tfisas damim. Kamashlan, it's just not the same as hegdish. It isn't nafik me'isuro kigon hegdish. Fine. And that is how he treats chametz. But the Rashba, on the other hand, doesn't think that chametz is mufka lagamrei from being any chafsa shel mamon, but thinks that really there's just no bailus. It does have a shame mamon, there's just no bailus. And the way he presents his reason is actually he flips some of the teritzim of the Ramban and takes out some. The first one he says is shehare ein yachol lamachron. His number one reason of how we of governing how we treat chametz is by telling us that you can't sell it. Apparently telling us that you can't sell it is the reason we know that how we're supposed to treat chametz. His inability as a baal to sell it is why we treat chametz and pesach as ein b'hem damim. There's no damim because there's no damim to the person who it's stolen from. There's no damim because there's no bailim when it comes to chametz and pesach. So if I take it from somebody, it doesn't matter because he wasn't a bailim. And the whole the rationale for that is shari ein yachol lamochran. Number two, he says v'hein atzman asur hein bana. He's trying to use the lashon of the Ramban, but v'hein atzman asur in hein bana. The point is, the Asur Bana, he's like using the Lashon of Atzman, the same way the Ramban does, but not to highlight the intrinsic characteristics, but just that Chametz itself is Asur Bana, that's true. But that's very different than saying Asur Bana de Atzman, which really sounds like it's about the DNA and the characteristics of the Cheftah Shel Chametz itself. And then the last thing he says is Om Ben Lisarv, and it's going to be burned. In other words, that's a huge restriction to your bailus. But he doesn't bring in Ein Gufan Mamon because he does think there is intrinsic value. It's just something that can't be accessed or tapped into by the Bailin. And he also doesn't say Ein Andavar Hagorim Lamamon because again, it's not about, for him, it's not about the Chefter Shel Chametz. He does think maybe there's Damim to Chametz per se, but he doesn't think that Damim could be accessed by any human being, any person on Pesach, by anyone who has Chametz in their possession. Which is very important. And he doesn't really mention the fact that there's no tfisas damim. Because for him, you never think there's tfisas damim for something that's just a limitation in bailus. You never expect that. But when it comes to the ritva, all he mentions is that it's asr lamachro ulahachlifo. Because for him, he doesn't really think there's any isr whatsoever. If anything, he thinks he kind of like saw the Rashba, and the Rashba kind of saw Tosfos and then read, the Ritva kind of saw the Ramban, the Rashba, who already made his adjustments to the Ramban, and then all that was left anymore was Asr Lamochro and La'achlifo. And because of that technical inability to sell it and to exchange it, nobody's going to do it, and the inability practically to sap any hana out of this Chefta is going to make it Ein Damim L'chameh T'Pesach. And this Ritva and the Rashi are Lishi Tassim, the Ritva and Sukkah and Lamed Hay, the Ksos and Reish and Reishim and Reish Sivkat and Hay talks about this. The Ritva thinks in general there is Zechiyah to Yisuri Hana'ah. And the Rashba, however, thinks that there isn't. And this is very Lishi Tassim, that in the Shut HaRashba, there's no Din Bailin, there's no Bailus when it comes to Yisuri Hana'ah. Ksos talks about it there at length, the Rivash. Okay, fine. And that's how they all, we have kind of the range of views about how to look at Isur HaNa'ah. Is Isur HaNa'ah just about not being able to get I'm sorry, how to look at the status of Dhammim. Is the status of Dhammim reflected by the Isur Hana all about not being able to tap in to the value of this Chesed practically? Or does the Isur Hana, along with the other things that kind of color and characterize the Dhammim, reflect something intrinsic on its own about the Chesed in front of us? And just finally, so I'm just really running very quickly through everything. Finally, Ashitas Rambam, the Ramban. If everyone has to go, obviously, for classes, I totally understand that. Seems like we have seven left. Six. Okay, very good. But let's try to get through the Rambam very quickly. The Rambam basically says, like the Ramban, in Macholos Asuros, Ches, Tezayin, as the Ramban quotes them, like the Ramban in the Rashba, that there's no Malkus for Yisurei Hana, but if you're Machlif, Damim Mutarim, which seems very fine. But when it comes to Bikurim in Yud Beis Dalet, when it comes to Peter Chamor, the Rambam says that Peter Chamor is Asr Bahana Ad She Yipadeh, Ad She Yifdeh. It's Asr Bahana until it's redeemed, which is an important line. It sounds like the Isra Hana is connected to the need to redeem it, maybe not on something intrinsic, but connected to the Chovas Pidyon. But if you're Machro before the Pidyon, if you illegally sell it before you do what you need to do, again, his lashon is before the pidyon, then the dam of arasurim, which seems good. And he says other things there that make it sound very connected, the Isur Hana, very connected to the choser pidya. But the point is that it's on the one hand, the Rambam sounds like there's an Isur. There's no Isur for the dam, the dam hamuchlav. In Machalos Asuris, but in Peter Chamor, it makes it sound like the Dham of Arasurim. So the Meiri, the Ravid, they all ask questions, different questions. The Meiri thinks it's not Tofes Dham of, but he quotes the Rambam, who says it is, and wonders, like, how come it's on the list with other things that, like, Peter Chamor, Machav Rekidesh Vidmeh Mekudeshes, if, like, the Rambam, Dham of Asurim. So he says a Chiluk, like the Mishnah Malach, and we saw in the Ramban, that basically it's not Tfisas Dhamim. The Dhammim are Be'etzem Mutarim, but there's an Isra Lamachlif, Isra Daraisa, it sounds like Lamachlif, when it comes to Petra Chamor. That's what the Rambam's saying, and therefore Mamela, he can be Mekadesh and Isha with it. The Ravid has bigger problems, that like, if really Dhamma of Asurin, so maybe just give that money, which is the Mukhlaf of the Petra Chamor, give it to the Kohen, and that'll work as your Pidyon. And better, his second question is that, do we ever find that Peter Chamor is one of the things about which we say, you know, there's Tfisas Damim? The answer is no. So how do we explain the Rambam? So the Meiri again has his suggestion that maybe there's just like a special Isser, the Machlif, but you have to explain why it's only true in Peter Chamor. But Rav Kiva Eger kind of basically says that it's a kind of actually not just Isser Gavir, but a kind of Tfisas Damim. Since Peter Chamor is Nitan LePidyon, whenever Peter Chamor, for those who don't know, is where you have a firstborn donkey, which has it's kadosh meirechem, but you can't bring a chamor to the mizbeach. It's not kosher. It's not royal the mizbeach. As such, the Torah tells you the mitzvah pidiyah b'seh. You redeem it with a seh, and then you give that seh to a kohen as if you were doing regular bechor. And then the chamor kind of loses its, you know, bechor status. But it does have certain dinim that still restrict its absolute usage. Like you can't work the Peter Chamor even after Pidyon. So that's what Pidyon is. So the way Rav Akiva explains that because there is this like Pidyon, almost it's like built in to Peter Chamor, so there's a kesher already between the Chevtza, She'asr Bana, in our case the Peter Chamor, and the Tachlif. This is Nitan the Tachlif. It's something which is always subject to the swapping of values. And what he basically saying is that if done right, if you swap the value correctly, so then you kind of are able to be mafkiya the Isra Hana from the Chamor. But if you do it wrong, you kind of are always living with the Isra Hana of the Peter Chamor. And if you try to be machlif the Peter Chamor with Damim, you try to get something out of it, that, you know, kind of like Nitan Lepidyon, that will boomerang onto the Kesef. And it will just basically apply to the Dhammim. Where Rav Rosalie wanted to explain it though, is that really the way we have to look at this is not as like a kind of Tfisas Dhammim, but to look at the fact that it's Nitan LePidyon, that it makes it kind of likely to be residual and lingering. And this is key. I wish I said this earlier when people were here, but the key thing is that when something's Isser Hana is intrinsic, part of its DNA, its characteristics, its physical makeup, the Torah assered this thing because of the dynamics, of its physical dynamics. It's Kilei HaKeren. It comes from the ground of intermingled species. It's bread that rises on Pesach, which is antithetical to all the goals and achievements we're trying to get through after Pesach. If it's intrinsic, then you can't just say that something else, which you exchange for it, is going to share that same Isser, because it doesn't have the physical characteristics. So it's hard to say that there is that kind of din d'oraisa, Isser Gavra, residual, satellite, if this chetza that we're trying to make usser doesn't have the physical qualities or characteristics. But if something is nitan lepidyon anyway, it shows that it's not, we don't care so much about the peter chamor per se. We don't care about this donkey, the chetza of this donkey. We care about the notion of pidyon, generally speaking. We want that that this person undergoes a process of pedia with this peter chamor. And as such, if you do try to be machlif this, that Isser D'oraisa maybe is still carried on a gavra level to the person who is machlif, the Isser peder chamor. Because maybe if you want to call it, just to make it simple to understand, a perspective. There's a certain perspective you need to have when it comes to peder chamor that just kind of takes, finds a home on the peder chamor. But you can carry that with you, especially if you're the guy who exploited the Isser Hana, it can carry with you even through to the Damin Hamuchlafim. And so maybe for that reason, more so in Peder Chamor than anything else, there is an Isser L'machlif, and this is like a sheet of the Rambam that is Mechalit between different Isser D'oraisa based exactly on what they are. And that's really the Rambam. Just with the final word, for those that stayed on, I appreciate it. I would like to say I wouldn't care if everybody left, but I imagine, like, psychologically speaking, it's not true. Is anyone any five of you, like, in a really big rush?
Yes, John. Josh, thank you so much.
Amazing.
This is wonderful. Thank you.
Okay, as a final word, while we're still on the recording, is that there's something to be said for the moment just about Chamesh v'Pesach, Chamesh Avodah v'Pesach and Shor HaNiskal, on the one hand, in light of what we just said about the Rambam, on the one hand, and Kilei HaKeren, Orla on the other. And recall that Rashi thinks there's an Isser D'oraisa in the case of Chametz Avodah V'Pesach, Shor HaNiskal, and Chametz B'Pesach. There's an Isser D'oraisa, the way we've been explaining it. It doesn't sound like it's D'Rabbanan. But when it comes to Kilei HaKeren and Orla, it sounds like it's only an Isser D'Rabbanan. But there isn't, like, a Tachlif. There isn't, you can't have this satellite Isser attached to the Damim HaMachlifim. I think a way to explain it is exactly this. When it comes to Chametz HaPesach, Sheyesh Lo Sha'as HaKosher, it's a perspective. The Kli Yakar says this, and Rev Rosenzweig, I've heard on several occasions, says Kli Yakar on last week's Parsha. The whole idea of Pesach is our making ourselves Kianiyim. And it's the Sa'or Shevi Isa, maybe mitigating ourselves, subjecting ourselves only to the divine purpose, being able to absorb all of His laws and not allow any gaiva, any of our own perspectives, when initially being a fledgling nation to creep in. We can't have Chametz. Chametz on Pesach, just because of what we're trying to project, what we're trying to educate, Klal Yisrael, and during this time period, what it's all about, is an Isser, yes, for those days of Pesach. And it can be carried with it through the Chefza, because of how powerful maybe the Isser Chametz is. It can be carried to it, even Chamesh Avodah V'Pesach, if it's D'oraisa, but even if it's D'Rabbanan, because it's a D'Rabbanan that applies, it's a Knas D'Rabbanan that applies to everyone. If a Jew has Chamesh Avodah V'Pesach, no other Jew can benefit from it either, even if it's D'Rabbanan. And so it's possible that what we're dealing with here is more of a perspective, is more of a, not an intrinsic Isser B'Chevtza. There is a Sha'as HaKosher, Shor HaNiskal also is about a person who doesn't follow the strict protection, the high expectations Torah puts on him to watch his Shor, even Shor Tam, Shor Hamuad. And so he can't just go around getting hana from the Shor Niskal. He has to be reminded of the damage the Shor caused by killing a human being, Chalila. Something that maybe his own life, the Gambal of Yumas, maybe should happen. But he's lucky that the Torah saves him and just, in a case of Tam, and even in Muad, saves him and allows him just to be Kofar in Muad. And in Tam, just for the Shor HaNiskal to be Asr Ba'ana. There's nothing wrong with the Shor. There's nothing wrong with Chametz. We love Chametz. We eat Chametz. We make a Berachas HaMazon on Chametz. There's no intrinsic isser, like there isn't kilei hakerem or orla, where it's the characteristics of the item itself, the DNA, the ingredients, are what make it problematic. There's you can't ever transfer that isser hana, because there's nothing to be transferred if the new item that you were machlit has those same characteristics. But when you're dealing with a perspective that isn't intrinsic per se, you could be machlif that perspective, again, just to be use a very simple word, that perspective on to other items. If you exploit the entire goal of what we're doing with this, call it in a time period, I like to call it circumstances, then that isser could be transferred to other things. And it's possible that maybe Rashi over here in Chulin is talking about Chamesh Avar, Pesach, Chametz, and Shor Niskal. But when it comes to Arlan, Kilei HaKerem, when it comes to Arlan, Kilei HaKerem, there's no Tachlife Yisr because those are more intrinsic. Like the Rambam about in Hilchos Machalos Asuros. But when it comes to Chamesh Avar, Pesach, Chametz, and Shor Niskal, maybe it's like the Rambam, Ban Petra Chamor, in Hilchos Bikurim, Yud Beis Dalid, where it's less intrinsic. And it's more nitan, I would say, in a broader way. Nitan lepidjon, you can carry with it, kind of. The same way there's chamech aval of a Pesach and chametz, even though the Pesach's over, and yet it's carried with the chametz, you can't generate that again. For the same reason, maybe we also have tachlife iser hana. But I say this, so we think more broadly, and with this I'll conclude, about chamech aval of a Pesach, about the nature of isur hana, how to look at certain chefzas that the Torah, characterizes, and how exactly we have to look at the nature of their isurim differently, how they function in the chefza, the different things, the different ways, their isis, their abanans, and that yashikoach. I wanted to read from this Igaris Hashma. I didn't realize how long it would take me. I'll just send it to you. I mean, it's unbelievable. I'll send it to this year. But the Rambam at the end of Igaris Hashma just has a really nice thing about, like, you know, that he quotes the Gemara that Shamda Avid Debatel, we're always excommunication or whatever persecution is always it's always Nitan Libata. The same way like Keharef Ayin, the Ribbono Shel Olam comes, saves us, gives a Yeshua on Purim, like none of us were expecting it, like all these things, like they're Omed Libatel, they're bound to end, which is a very shocking and important perspective to have during this time. But whatever. Thank you guys for staying on. And Yashikov, this is much longer than I thought, but it was good. Baruch Hashem. Shkoyach, everyone.